welcome to the Keystone Sports Network.
And welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue. If you bleed blue and white, you've got to drink blue and light. I am Jim Galante with a very special guest today, Mr. Adam Brenneman. Welcome, Adam.
Jim, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Well, you can't be as excited as we are for having you here. I mean, you're a Penn State legend, so just having you here in our studio is fantastic.
Thank you.
But we're not just here to compliment you and say how great you are. Let's get right to it. You have a very special announcement to make.
Very special. I'm super excited, and Jim and I have been talking for a couple weeks now, and excited to announce that I will be joining the Keystone Sports Network and launching the Adam Brenneman Show, Life in the Red Zone, which will kick off next week, I guess, is when it's going to be the first episode, and we're going to dive into a bunch of different topics about college football, about life and what it's like to be an athlete, a Division I college football athlete, and I'm super excited to get this thing going.
So are we, obviously, here, and at Keystone Sports, we're excited because we're going to get the opportunity to produce this. Me, personally, I'm thrilled because I'm going to be able to co-host with you and get to ask you all those questions, about college football in general. I'm excited about exploring your personal story, but also the background on national football questions. So we're going to talk, and we're going to get an opportunity to dive into some of Adam's best friends and bring them onto the show to talk to.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's kind of the exciting part, is for us to have that deep conversation, but also to open up that dialogue with players from across the country. Our week one guest is going to be Malik Zaire, who is the former Notre Dame, Florida quarterback, who's now with CBS Sports calling games, and just going to dive into these players' backgrounds and everything they went through, from being five-star recruits to being starters at Notre Dame and in colleges across the nation, and getting benched and then coming back and trying to play in the NFL. And there's so many of those cool stories. And for us to have that level of authenticity and the openness that I think we can bring from our conversations, but also with the guests that we bring in, is what I'm really excited about.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic opportunity for us to be able to find – I'm 5.5 foot tall. I don't want to get into my weight. I never played football, but I'm a huge football fan. And as a fan, you know, we get to sit in the stands. We watch what happens. We tell the coach what he should be doing. But we don't really get to ask the players, get this up close and personal. And, you know, as an example, I'm dying to ask you about Bill O'Brien as a coach, about having, you know, a two tight end set, and these are all Penn State discussions, I realize, but I'd love to hear it from you and not hear a coach speak.
Absolutely, and there's definitely that, you know, football, I've always said football, you have the challenge of that players wear a helmet, where you don't get that immediate connection with fans. So I think that football lacks the openness with the fans to the players. So if we can bring that, is awesome. And you bring up Bill O'Brien. I just saw a video this morning of him with the Texans. I don't think he's changed one bit from when he was at Penn State. And, you know, we've talked about this. I've talked about this all the time, but I don't think there could have been a better guy for a better time at Penn State, and what he's been able to do now with the Texans. Starting off last season, I think they lost four in a row, or five—I forget exactly how many—but ended up, you know, with a really good season. And what he's been able to do there has been special. And that Penn State community owes a lot to Bill O'Brien and what he was able to do at that program, and what he was able to do by holding that program together.
It's and again, as a hardcore Penn State fan, and
full disclaimer.
I joke with the other guys on our Keystone Kickoff Show that they're all journalists and they have a certain responsibility because of that. I don't.
I fan first.
Yes, I am a fan first, and I like to feel like I'm representing a different perspective as a fan. And so you're going to hear some questions that are just kind of fanboy questions, because that's what I am. And hopefully I'll be able to represent the listeners that if they were here, these are the questions that they would be asking you about you know, college football. But I do want to ask you, while we have you here and we have all the Penn State fans, and in talking about your show and saying that part of the content is how someone gets over adversity in life, you have quite the story. And just a quick recap from a fan's perspective, you came in to Penn State as a five-star?
Yeah, depending on who you asked. So okay, I think Scout.com had me as a five-star. Rivals had me as a four-star. So
I had you.
I don't like Rivals as much. That's why.
I have you as a five-star coming in. Then just an incredible story at Penn State with the sanctions, Bill O'Brien coming in, dealing with that. Your decision to stay at Penn State, the injuries that you have, you end up needing to retire from football at Penn State. You reemerge at UMass and became an All-American at UMass. And still, if it weren't for your knees, you'd be playing on Sundays right now. To me, that's an incredible story, and not to mention your political life.
It was definitely a career filled with ups and downs, and if you would have told me when I was 17 years old and a five-star recruit, if you would have told me that I would have ended my career at UMass, I probably would have thought you were nuts. But I wouldn't have changed one thing about it. You know, to go from being that five-star recruit and being at Penn State during probably was the most trying time in college football history. I've said this before, out of everything I was able to do in my football career at Penn State, at UMass, there's nothing will ever surpass what we overcame at Penn State. I'll always be the most proud of what our recruiting class was able to do and what we were able to the role we were able to play in holding that program together will always be my favorite memory. But you know, the ups and downs of that and having a really good freshman season, and when I walked off, I'm sure a lot of listeners, or at least Penn State fans, remember that 2013 Wisconsin game. We were at Wisconsin, 26-point underdogs. Bill O'Brien's last game at Penn State, we ended up winning that game. I had the 68-yard touchdown. When I walked off that field, I mean, I literally was on top of the world. I thought that I was going to be a first-round draft pick in 2 years, and Bill O'Brien was on top of the world. And I mean, if you would have told me walking off that field that O'Brien would never coach another game and that I would never catch another pass at Penn State, I don't think many people would have believed you. So just to go from that and then have the injuries, and then Franklin came in, who's done an unbelievable job, and to be hurt for two seasons and retire, and thought I was done playing forever, and then my knee felt better, went to UMass, had two All-American seasons, and the amazing part for me was when I went to UMass, it was tough because, you know, I knew I wanted to try to play again. It was, do I go back to Penn State and, you know, try it again at Penn State? I felt like I needed a fresh start. But the amount of support that I received from Penn State fans at UMass, I mean, it was amazing, the amount of tweets and emails and Instagram messages and letters in the mail I got from Penn State fans when I was at UMass was remarkable and speaks to the kind of fan base that Penn State has. The people at UMass were shocked that I would be literally getting letters in the mail from Penn State fans saying, thank you for what you did for our program. We're watching you every Saturday at UMass. It was really, really a special experience for me, and it's definitely been a lot of ups and downs, but it's all been worth it.
Well, first of all, on behalf of all Penn State fans, you're welcome. But do you draw any analogy to, like, and we've talked about this, with Tommy Stevens going to Mississippi State, and without getting into why, we're all rooting for, I think we are, I'm sure there's some Penn State fans elsewhere, but I said my two favorite teams now are Penn State and Mississippi State. Between Joe Mo, what he did for the program,
for sure, yep.
Tommy Stevens sticking around when he really didn't have to, I think most of us Penn State fans are rooting hard for him. Do you see any kind of analogy there between the two of you?
Absolutely. I think that's something that makes Penn State a special place is the ability for fans to make an impact. I mean, there's very few places that have fans like Penn State. I think Tommy and I's situation was a little bit different. I don't know if fans will be as pleased about Tommy leaving in the middle of his career. I didn't really have a choice when I left. But I mean, it is true. I mean, people will be rooting for Tommy, and I'm sure that there'll be 105 players at Penn State rooting for Tommy this fall as well. And I think that just speaks volumes to the place that Penn State is, the fans. I don't think there's many fan bases in the country that could have overcame what Penn State overcame. I would actually argue to say that there aren't any that could have overcame what that school and university overcame.
Well, again, speaking as the fan, this fan base has a love affair going with those players who chose to stick around when they had the free ride out of town if they wanted it. So that team means an awful lot to all of us. But I still have to do this. We are talking to a Penn State fan base right now. Nationally, this year's Penn State team, when I see national pundits talk about them, it's Trace has left. Miles Sanders has left. The next quarterback, Tommy Stevens, has left. I'm hearing a lot of 8-4s behind Ohio State, Michigan State. You have any thoughts on this year's Penn State team?
It all starts on defense for this Penn State team, and it's going to be a change up for Penn State, used to having a high-powered offense. I think they still will have a high-powered offense, but this Penn State defense is going to be special. I've heard reviews from training camp already that this defense looks lights out. The pass rush is going to be unbelievable, which is a good place to start. Sean Clifford, I think, has a really good season. Ricky Ronnie is in year two of calling plays. The biggest jump you see in teams from year one to year two is in that second year. The biggest jump you see in play callers is year one to year two. So I think Ricky Ronnie, not to say he didn't do a good job last year, he will be even better this year. And I think the wide receiver core, I think we're going to see an improvement there. Those drops at key times in games last year really, really hurt the team. And we got a young running back room that has a lot of talent. I think we may see running back by committee a little bit this year. But it's an offense that isn't getting a lot of hype, but I think has a chance to put up a lot of points. And I think the point average you need to win the national championship nowadays, like 39 points a game. So while defense is important, offense at the end of the day is what's going to win you championships. And I do think, although not many people agree with me, that this Penn State offense could be pretty special.
Well, it's good to hear this. Many of us on the show are big Sean Clifford fans. And one last thought, and you and I were talking about this off the air. Some of these players we're seeing in the offseason, Dwight Gault produces some of these numbers. They're incredible how much these players improve physically during the offseason.
Yeah, Dwight Gault's one of the best in the country, and that's really I've said this before, the most important hire a head coach makes is that strength coach, because they spend so much time with the players, especially in the summer and in the spring. Those players are looking big. You were saying Will Levis looks like he's about a Y tight end right now. So those guys all look really good.
Well, it's great to hear that. Adam, thank you so much for coming on the show. We are all looking forward to the Adam Brenneman Show, and we will see you next week when we get started.
Thank you, Jim. I'm excited.
Thank you.